gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the campsite of free speech. Have you ever been to a campsite? I was camping once, and my camp got raided by bears, and everything got destroyed, except my tent, because my this was when I was in the Boy Scouts. My tent mate insisted on putting all our food in the trees, so they didn't rip into my tent. But at any rate, why is it relevant? Well, it's relevant because we want you to send all your money to RBN at RBNRepublicBroadcasting.org, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Yesterday was a bank holiday. Today's not a bank holiday. So we have Mark Collett. But Mark, I want to ask, what's a bank holiday? Is that like
you ask this every time? You ask this every time.
Rothschild Appreciation Day?
To ask, answer.
Rothschild Appreciation Day, Goldman Sachs Memorial Day. What's a bank holiday?
It's just it's like a weird British holiday, where everyone just gets a little bit of time off, and it's painful. So that's that. Everyone decides, because it's bank holiday, that they're all going to go out at the same time and either go to the beach or the park or wherever, and that means everybody's
or the moon.
The same... Where?
Or the moon.
Don't go to the moon.
Wallace and Gromit, where they went to the moon.
Wallace and Gromit might go to the moon. Normal people don't go to the moon. But I'll tell you this. It's tiresome. And it's really tiresome. It's one of those things where you go out, you want to have a nice day, but everyone's had the same idea as you. So you think you're going to have a nice time. You think this is going to be absolutely brilliant. It's going to be a brilliant day out. You, the missus, the kids, and you're stuck in traffic. Queues for an ice cream are 20 minutes long. Your kid's moaning. Honestly, it's on paper, it's a good thing. In reality, it's a living nightmare. There's just too many people in this little overcrowded island, and things like bank holidays that should be fun are less than fun because of it.
Okay, well, that could be worse. Could be raining, which is a line from the movie Young Frankenstein. And then, of course, on cue, it immediately started pouring.
You know what? It wasn't raining yesterday. It was absolutely beautiful. But it rained later. It rained later, but it was beautiful all day. And we went out to a beautiful place. We went for a nice walk. But it was, unfortunately, a near 20-minute queue for an ice cream. And I'd made the error of promising my daughter an ice cream, and that was a major error. It was a major error. I said, "Do you want an ice cream?" She said, "Yes, Daddy." And once the promise had been made, that meant we had to queue because I'd promised, and I'm good to my word. But the queue was hellish.
Yeah.
Was the ice cream good? Well, she ate it all, and she said it was delicious. So I suppose it wasn't all for naught.
No, it wasn't all for nothing. Okay, well, so we are recording this a few hours before showtime, and a few hours ago at the University of Chicago, which is one of America's top schools, the police very violently raided their encampment. So this is one of these schools that had an encampment, anti-genocide encampment. And so at about 4:30 in the morning, Chicago time, the police came in, and they had said that they were going to raid the camp at like 2 a.m. And so people stayed up until 2 a.m. And then the police didn't come. So everybody went to sleep. And then the police came in at 4:30 when everybody would be really groggy and just started ripping things up and knocking things over and being pretty aggressive and I think you could say violent. And then an hour or two later,
being the
that,
very opposite of what they were to the BLM protesters.
And by the way, what was I about to say? Sorry, I was just getting another call coming in. This was not the Chicago City Police. This was the University of Chicago Police. So what's happened? Oh, and then like an hour or so later, after they did a bunch of arrests, then they started distributing these flyers saying that anybody who gets arrested is being suspended from school, and they have to go through some sort of process if they're ever going to get readmitted, and they have to move out of the dormitories immediately, and you know, their life is going to be ruined, because most of these kids are there on some sort of financial aid, and if they have this kind of disciplinary action taken against them, this is a school that's $75,000 a year, and very few people are actually paying $75,000 a year. The only way that they're going is because they get whatever, especially the black and brown students they're getting. So basically they're going to be kicking out, or they're threatened to kick all these people out of school. These people have been working their entire lives, even people who get into schools with affirmative action and whatnot. These aren't just street people. They're people who still worked their entire lives to get to where they are. And there's one point I'd like to make, because I've heard people say, oh, well, you know, these students, they're leftists, they're our enemies or whatever. And I want to say this. No, they're not our enemies. They or their predecessors have been the stooges of our enemies, but they themselves are not their enemies. And now, even though in many cases they probably didn't understand what they were doing, they are actually standing up to our enemies. And the correct response is not to say, ha ha, oh, now you're getting your comeuppance. Now we can be the stooges of our enemies. No, that's not the right response. The right response is to feel solidarity and support for these people, because they are throwing themselves into the gear of the machines. So what do you think, Mark?
Well, I just have to rip up my entire script for the entire show, because I was just going to, for 45 minutes, laugh hysterically and say, ha ha, you're getting what you deserved. So don't know really what to say now. back to you, Patrick. No, I'm only joking. Obviously, there is a bit of that. I'm going to disagree with you. There is a bit of that. Ha ha, you get what you deserved. There is a little bit of that, because these people for years have done what they've wanted. They've got away with all kinds of protest. They've got away with supporting violent terrorist groups that have attacked white people, and that's all being good. It's all being good, and it's all been fun and games. It's no longer all good. It's no longer fun and games. And it's no longer fun and games because they're not targeting white people. They are targeting Zionist power. They're targeting the state of Israel. And because of this, obviously, the powers that be are like, we are not having that. This is not what we do in America. In America, we are the golem. We are the, you know, battering ram for the state of Israel. And it's amazing, isn't it, that you've had, I was going to say MPs, but they're not MPs, sort of congressmen, like the one from Texas, who said, you know, we're going to enshrine free speech on campuses all over Texas to ensure that people aren't expelled for voting for the wrong candidate, saying the wrong thing, or having an opinion that certain people don't like. And then as soon as the actual protest is against Israel, it's shut it down. And I think this is important. I think it's important for a couple of reasons. But firstly, I do think it is funny. I do think there is a degree of ha-ha in this. And I think there's a degree of ha-ha because these people haven't believed us. They've mocked us. They've very much been sort of from the group of, well, you know, you make all this up. There is no conspiracy. You know, we've all got freedom of speech here, and the disenfranchised people are black people, and it's got to be, you know, it's got to be power to these black people. And, you know, BLM, et cetera, et cetera. They've done all this rubbish. But now hopefully they're seeing that the group that holds power isn't the group they've been raging against. It's not the old, white, middle class, pale and stale men that they've been told. It's actually the Zionists. It's actually the state of Israel. And I remember, maybe everyone's not heard of this guy on your show, but I should imagine a lot have. He's called Destiny. And Destiny is this odd, weird, little sort of strange guy on the left who's always pushed back against this narrative that Israel has a controlling say in the way that America is run and the way America is governed. And this guy's always maintained this. But I think we've hit a point now where it becomes de facto almost impossible to claim that. I mean, to claim now that Israel doesn't have a controlling say in how America's run and you know, politics is not run by the Israeli lobby. If you try to say that now, how do you sell that? How do you sell that America is actually a free country and Israel doesn't actually have a controlling hand in the way that America's run? I don't think you can sell that anymore. I don't think you could say that with a straight face. You certainly, I mean, you might be able to say it in a vacuum. If you were sat alone saying it on a stream, you might be able to say it in a vacuum. But I don't think you could say it in a debate. I don't think you could prove it in a debate. I don't think you could speak about this anymore without people just bursting into laughter if you made that point, because there is a clear double standard. And the double standard can be seen in many ways. So it wasn't that long ago, you know, just a few years ago, that we actually saw this incredible wave of violence around the BLM protests. Now, the BLM protests became violent. They became riotous. And we were repeatedly told that these people had the right to protest, that the police couldn't do anything, that if the police did step in, you know, that would be a problem. You know, these people's rights needed to be respected. Now, what were their rights? Their rights to do what? Their rights to riot, their rights to menace people, their rights to destroy businesses. You know, what were their rights, Patrick? They had the right to do literally whatever they wanted. You know, it was the BLM. The BLM riots were a complete free-for-all. And calling them protests would be just ridiculous, wouldn't it? You can't really say that they were protests, because they weren't. People were hurt. Businesses were destroyed. There was lots of things going on, but they weren't peaceful. Now, I can't remember all the excuses to why people couldn't, why the police couldn't crack down on those you know, riotous events. I do, however, remember CNN calling what was clearly a riot a fiery but mostly peaceful. You know, in the background you see sort of like shops burning to the ground. Now, everybody remembers this. Now, these protests are generally peaceful. Now, I'm not saying, because I haven't seen them all, so I'm not going to sit here now and say there hasn't been any violence at these pro-Israel protests. I'm not going to say that. Sorry, pro-Israel protests, pro-Palestine protests, because I haven't seen them all. So I don't want to say, well, there hasn't been any, and then somebody come on and say, well, actually, Mark, you're wrong. You're wrong because of this. You're wrong because of that. Here's some violence. But what I've generally seen from the pro-Palestine protests is that they have been mostly peaceful. I personally have not seen any violence. That's not to say there hasn't been, but I haven't seen it. And if there has been, I would say it would be isolated cases. So here you have this incredible double standards where protests that are completely or either overwhelmingly or completely peaceful are being broken up compared to protests that were genuinely violent, that were genuinely filled with problems and trouble. And we genuinely saw people's homes, people's businesses being destroyed. They have been effectively given the green light, but this is being broken up. And it's being broken up by everyone. These attacks on these protests are endorsed by the left and the right, you know, alike. So at least with BLM, you would have had some people say, well, you know, maybe people should arrest some of the rioters, or maybe there should be some comeback on those committing the worst act of violence. But with this, I can't see anybody in the mainstream actually pushing back against, you know, the actual narrative. So the narrative with BLM was, that it was peaceful, it was necessary. But there were some people saying, look, this is clearly not peaceful, it's clearly not necessary. These people do need to be arrested. What they're doing is unlawful. There were some dissenters within the mainstream, to the mainstream narrative. But I haven't seen any dissent within the mainstream from the mainstream narrative. And the mainstream narrative of this is the one line you do not cross. You can do anything you want. You know, if you're protesting for black rights, civil rights, Latino, right, doesn't matter. If you're protesting for those things, you can pretty much do what you want as long as you're targeting white people. But if you have a peaceful protest as against the slaughter that's going on in Gaza, well, at that point, you have crossed the Rubicon, haven't you? You've crossed that line, and it's been crossed, and fundamentally, you know, you are going to pay for it. And that's really scary. That's a genuinely scary thing that we're pointing out here, because fundamentally what we're moving to a point where actually mentioning anything about Zionist or Jewish power is this one giant taboo. And in the past, we know that people have been sacked from places of work, et cetera, for saying things about certain things, and those people that have been sacked are usually people who are on the quote-unquote right wing, and these right wingers said something and it was the racist and it was all bad and they were big meanie heads and they had to be punished, and that's been the norm. But with this, they are threatening huge amounts of people, not just whites, they're threatening blacks, they're threatening people of Arab extraction, they're threatening people regardless. And it's a blanket ban on this one topic. And at universities of all places. Now, universities in America, this is a well-known thing. So in the UK, when you talk about American universities, lots of things will spring to mind. Sort of frat houses, you know, kegs of beer, cheerleader girls, all these things. But one of the things that would spring to mind is protests. Because everybody remembers or has seen, if they weren't alive to see it originally, or has seen pictures of the anti-Vietnam War protests. And the anti-Vietnam War protests in America defined an era. And I would say not only did they define an era, but they became so iconic, they were known the world over. And American universities or colleges, whatever you want to call them, have been known for these kind of protests. They've been known for sit-ins, they've been known for demonstrations, and now to say that, you know, all those demonstrations were valid, all those demonstrations were correct, and all those demonstrations had their place, but this is the one thing you can't talk about. Well, that really speaks to power more than anything, doesn't it? This has got to be one of those things where you say people have got to wake up from this. And this is my final point. I started off with a bit of a ha-ha at these leftists because they're finally getting to see, you know, who holds the power in America. But I'll say this. If they're not waking up now, they definitely do deserve the ha-ha. If people on the left who are seeing this aren't waking up now to who holds the power, then yes, they do deserve absolute ridicule, because at the moment, I don't think it could get any more. I don't think this could get any more blatant. I don't think we could see things become any more transparent as to who holds the power. And after this, if the American left aren't talking about Zionist power, and I know some of them are beginning to talk about it a little bit, you know, that would be an absolute travesty. And at that point, you've got to say, well, these entire group of people, they're simply never going to learn, and they're never going to talk about, you know, the big issue. And the big issue is clearly who rules America, and it ain't white people.
Thank you. Start your day on RBN with John Moore from 7:10 with coffee cup in hand. Wake up with the Memory Man. Highly qualified guests share their knowledge with the callers Monday through Friday. His website is second to none. It's thelibertyman.com. You'll find everything right there. Start your day and be prepared. So give a listen or a call. Tune in weekdays on RBN. Start your day and be prepared. So give a listen or a call. Tune in midweekdays on RBN.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
The Beverly Hillbilly.
That would be an absolute travesty. And at that point, you've got to say, well, these entire group of people, they're simply never going to learn, and they're never going to talk about, you know, the big issue. And the big issue is clearly who rules America, and it ain't white people.
So the way the Black Lives Matter riots of previous years, and in particular the summer of Floyd, right? The summer of Floyd. There, you know, before that, at Ferguson a few years earlier, in Baltimore and Charlotte and all these other places, but the, you know, they culminated in 2020, 4 years ago, and what repeated itself day after day, city after city across America that summer, was you would have protests in the afternoon, and then almost necessarily, once it started to get evening, then you would get riots emerging from the protests, right? So you'd have people who would go out in the afternoon and say, well, we're just peacefully protesting. Well, they were, but they, you know, you might want to give them a pass on the first day or two, but because this was iterated over and over again, you know, they went out, you know, the white liberal kids or white liberal women or whatever would go out, and they would knowing that the demonstrations that they were participating in were going to become riots in the evening, maybe after they left. And so there was this culpability. I want to say, regarding the people on the campuses, these are overwhelmingly undergraduates, and 4 years ago, they were in high school, they were in their mid-teens. And so it's easy to say, well, you know, these are the same people. But if you actually look on an individual basis, 4 years ago, the kids who are in elite colleges now were in high school, they're in their mid-teens. And the ones who wound up going to the elite schools were probably less likely to be in the demonstrations and more likely to be doing extracurricular activities or something, if you were to actually look on an individual basis. So that's one thing I want to point out. But they are doing something that, let's just say the January 6th protesters, and, you know, I was there, and they've been smacked down. But they weren't even really confronting Jewish power as head-on as these people are. And, you know, what these people are doing, it's, you know, it's not direct, it's not quite Jewish power, but it's a lot closer. It is a lot closer by doing Israel and Zionism, and the establishment's completely freaking out. One last thing, I want to bring up the legislation that was passed by the House of Representatives last week, and I don't think it's been signed into law yet, but it will. And this, there's a lot of talk that it outlaws criticism of Israel, or it outlaws parts of the New Testament. That's not exactly what it does, but what it does do is it enables, okay, first of all, it establishes a definition of anti-Semitism, which is adopted from some non-American, some foreign Jewish group called the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, which does define criticism of Israel and criticism of Zionism as being anti-Semitic. It also defines notion that Jews killed Jesus, which of course is written in several passages of the New Testament, that's anti-Semitic. And so what this does is it enables the Department of Education, it all revolves around the Department of Education, to withhold funds from universities where there are complaints of anti-Semitism. And so what you saw at the University of Chicago this morning, it wasn't the city police. It was the university's own police that were doing the crackdown, because now the universities are in a position where if they don't shut down not just these protests, but presumably all sorts of other protests that could be the subject of complaints by Jewish students saying that they feel uncomfortable because of anti-Semitism, that if these aren't shut down, then the universities lose their funding, and the funding's a big deal to them. So anyway, I wanted to clarify some of those points.
I'm pleased you did this, because I actually did a show with David Duke the other day, and I was trying to sort of ascertain, we didn't quite get to the nitty-gritty of what these new laws sort of, or what this new law actually would mean for normal people, because it doesn't actually outlaw
Hello, I'm Mr. Ed. A horse is a horse, of course, of course, and no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Ed. Go right to the source and ask the horse. He'll give you the answer that you endorse. He's always on a steady course. Talk to Mr. Ed.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk, real people, because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Trying to sort of ascertain, we didn't write. Get to the nitty-gritty of what these new laws sort of, or what this new law actually would mean for normal people, because it doesn't actually outlaw people's right to speak freely, so to speak. But from my reading of it, it allows groups and bodies, or sort of coerces groups and bodies, to essentially crack down on people through other means, if they do things that go against, you know, Zionist or Jewish power. So if you were to speak out in a way that was deemed anti-Semitic, you wouldn't, you know, the bodies or the groups that you were part of, or the company you were employed by, would almost be sort of forced to act in a way which would be detrimental to your well-being. But it's not like the police would arrive at your house a couple of hours later, like they might in the UK, and actually arrest you. So it doesn't actually infringe on your First Amendment rights, but it does infringe, but it does allow them to sort of circumvent that. Am I sort of reading that correctly?
Yeah. So what it does is it puts, in this case, the universities, because this is this specifically revolves around the Department of Education. So if somebody makes statements, makes a speech on campus or whatever, it's not as if they're going to be put in prison, but they could be expelled from school. And if the school doesn't take action, then the school is going to risk all sorts of financial hardship. So it coerces the schools to do what the government itself would have trouble doing because of constitutional guarantees.
Yeah, and it kind of opens people up to a sort of new level of bullying, really, doesn't it? So
yeah, it outsources oppression.
Yes.
To universities.
Yeah, that's a perfect way of putting it, outsourcing oppression. So effectively, you won't get arrested for something, but you will lose your job, you will lose your education, you'll lose your income, and they'll turn you in one way or another into effectively a second-class citizen. And you will never, you know, if you're a young person, you won't achieve your potential. And if you're an older person, you won't be able to put the food on the table for your family. And the government will say, well, we haven't done any of this. You know, this is just being enforced by companies or, you know, educational institutions. And, you know, we just think this is the right thing to do, that people act in this manner, because if they're not acting in this manner, they won't get government funding. So it is very, very worrying. It's kind of reminds me, in some respects, of the way free speech is dealt with on social networks in America. So you're guaranteed your sort of constitutional rights, but when you lose your sort of Twitter account or your Facebook account or your Instagram account, you'll be just be told, well, okay, Twitter, Facebook, etc., are not bound by constitutional rights, and because of that, they can block you at any time. They're private businesses, and it essentially, like you say, it outsources oppression to other groups. And it's all well and good saying, well, I've got the right and freedoms to say whatever I want online. Well, yeah, you might have. But if you don't have the right and freedom to say it on Twitter, if you don't have the right and freedom to say it on Facebook and these other big sites or YouTube, you effectively might as well not be saying it at all, because the amount of views you bring in are just so small compared to what they would be if you were on these major platforms. So at this point, you know, it kind of puts you in a position where you've got the freedom to say what you want, but no one can hear you. So it's almost as if, you know, all these sites are basically a megaphone, and you need the megaphone to speak to the crowd. And the government are saying, you can say what you want, you have your free speech, but you only get the megaphone if you say the right thing. So it puts you in a very difficult position, doesn't it? Because you can say what you want, but they will ensure that if it's the wrong thing, nobody hears it.
Right. Right. So there's one more point I want to make before maybe we move on to some other stuff. So I've always thought of, Jewish power, the Jewish power structure, as keeping Americans or, you know, people in other countries in line in a way that's reminiscent of a hostage situation. Like, for instance, if you had gunmen in a bank and there was kind of a hostage situation, and maybe there's only a couple of gunmen and maybe there's 50 or 100 people who are hostages. Well, if everybody Zerg rushed them, the first few people might get kind of shot up, maybe even killed. But the gunmen could be overwhelmed. It's just, but who's going to be the first? Who's going to be first and take those bullets? Maybe you could even think of it as not at a bank, but at a school situation where they've got people's children who are hostages, and you know the parents are all outside. And if they Zerg rush, well, maybe there's going to be a couple of deaths, but they can overwhelm these people. And the way I'm looking at this is, we had over the past some years, we've had some people from our side try to Zerg rush. You could look at maybe Charlottesville, a little bit like that. And we got beaten down. And then we decided we're not going to do this stuff anymore because we're getting beaten down and nobody was following us. Well, now you've got a very, very large protest movement, which is much larger than what you were seeing in 2016, 2017. It's really widespread, and it's not our people, but it is people who are Maybe they didn't know what they were signing up for, but they're putting themselves on the line. And you know, if you were go back to the hostage situation, if it was like some Muslim parents who started Zerg rushing the hostage takers, and maybe the Muslim parents, they don't give a damn about little Sophia who's hostage. They care about little Fazia and Ishmael.
They're all called
Mohammed.
They literally are all called Mohammed. In Britain, every year the most popular boy's name is always Mohammed, and they started to get really, really uncomfortable that every year the most popular boy's name was Mohammed. So to make sure that Mohammed isn't the most popular boy's name anymore, what they do is they split it by spelling. So there's about five different spellings of Mohammed. So what they try and do is make sure it says something like every year in Britain, sort of, Oliver last year was the most popular boy's name, but Mohammed was 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. You know, when you add them all together, they're clearly one, but some people spell it Mohammed and some people spell it Muhammad.
Yeah, but anyway, maybe these people weren't your friends before, and maybe they're not going to be your friends later, but right now we're, the way I look at it is we're on the same side, and I appreciate the people taking the risks and taking the blows. And I think, and I do think this is going to come to something. I think this is probably going to be a lot more significant than any, I'm hoping it's going to be more significant than any protest movement I've seen in my lifetime. And I remember Vietnam, I participated in anti-Vietnam protests, but I think this is more important and a bigger deal. Anything to say before we move on?
Well, yeah. Firstly, I'm not sure if it is more important and a bigger deal than the Vietnam protest movement. And the reason being, the Vietnam protest movement is just so iconic and so so well remembered. However, what I will say is, with this protest movement, you may not, and this is going to annoy people, but I'm going to say it anyway because I think it's true, you may not actually see the fruits of this for a decade or a decade and a half. Maybe a couple of decades. Why? Well, with the Vietnam protest movement, the people who were protesting were often, as Patrick's pointed out, you know, in their late teens, early to mid-20s. Now, those people were people who were going to be future captains of industry. They were going to be people coming out of elite educational institutions that would shape America. And in a few decades' time, post those protests, those young people did go on to shape America. They went on to be the educators, the captains of industry, the people who shaped the discourse in the US. And I would say the same will happen here. Now, whether these protests are immediately a massive thing for us, who knows? They may well not be. And that sounds like a bit of a black pill. Well, you know, nothing's going to happen, nothing's going to change. Probably not. But all of those involved in the protests are going to be highly political young people that will most likely go on. You know, they're not the frat boys, they're not the cheerleaders, they're not the people who are there just getting a bit of an education on a football scholarship, having a few drinking contests, and then coming out and going to work in, you know, daddy's company. These are the people on these protests are going to be the highly political people that go on to shape the trajectory of, say, the Young Democrats or, you know, other politicized movements. And, you know, in a decade and a half, 2 decades' time, they could well be the people that end up informing the opinions of the next set of American youth or Americans in universities, etc. And this is interesting because I believe that, you know, people often say, well, the Vietnam War protests, you know, they did stop the Vietnam War. Well, they might have done, they might not. I mean, there's debate on whether it was the protests or whether the war was just effectively unwinnable. However, whether what the truth is doesn't really matter. They were perceived to have had a massive effect. But I would say the bigger effect is that those people involved in those protests did go on to shape American thinking. They became part of sort of the American zeitgeist, part of the American way of analyzing things and looking at war, looking at foreign conflict, and they have played an important part in the American political discourse ever since. And I think these young people may go on to do the same, and they will always have a chip on their shoulder over the way that they have been treated, you know, in this particular instance, and that will put them at odds with the system for the rest of their lives. And with a bit of luck, you know, we might not see it instantly, but, you know, by the time I'm, you know, in my 60s or maybe 70s, we may see a very different America, one that isn't supporting the state of Israel any longer. And that would be a fantastic thing. But often, in my humble opinion, these movements, you know, and the effect of sort of the political oppression on the people in these movements often takes time to mature and doesn't initially filter towards power. And why would it? Because Patrick made an amazing point that I hadn't thought of. It would probably be a bit silly laughing at these people, because most of these people weren't at the colleges and universities when the BLM riots were taking place. But equally, these people who are, you know, part of these protests today are not going to walk into jobs and instantly be the captains of industry. You know, in 2 months' time, these people won't be controlling political and social discourse, but they will be in a few decades' time. So I think essentially by doing this, you could well have a situation where the powers that be, you know, AIPAC, you know, the Zionist lobby in general, you know, the Philo-Semitic political establishment could well be sowing the seeds of its own demise by treating these young future leaders in this very short-sighted way.
Okay, now I want to move on. You had mentioned just before we went on air that Nick Fuentes is back on Twitter. Now, you know something about Twitter. I don't. You know something about Twitter, and you had a pretty popular Twitter account. What does it – are you, two questions. So what does it mean to have Nick Fuentes back on Twitter, and are you back on Twitter? What's going on with that?
Well, the Twitter thing is very odd. It's very odd for a couple of reasons. Firstly, it's great that Nick Fuentes is back, because Nick Fuentes, a lot of people don't like him. A lot of people do like him. A lot of people are suspicious of him. A lot of people think he's the bee's knees. But whatever you think about him, he is talking about the two biggest issues of our time. And the two biggest issues of our time are white genocide and Zionist power. And they're his two big issues. Now, he also does the whole Christ is king, you know, and calls for sort of a theological, you know, American state. And some people don't like that. Some people aren't religious. But I think generally speaking, he's on the right track and he makes some very good points. He's very engaging and he has a young, smart and radical audience. And when I say smart, they're not the sort of audience that is usually associated with nationalism. So the sort of audience that's usually associated with nationalism are sort of young, antisocial skinhead types, people who've got potentially, you know, problems. You know, they struggle within society, they come from bad backgrounds, they're angry, you know, tattoos all over their head, that kind of people. And he doesn't really appeal to that crowd. He appeals to actually young, smartly dressed, well-educated, overwhelmingly sort of white male Christian types. And I think that he's, I think he's doing a great job of that. Now, he was taken off Twitter, and like me, he got his Twitter back. And my Twitter's been taken away from me for a second time, and Nick Fuentes' was taken away from him a second time. So he got it back, and then they took it away, and they were like, look, there's no way are you having Twitter back, because you're too influential. Just like with me, you know, they said, oh, you're too influential, you're touching on things we don't want you to touch on, so you're having it taken away. But he's had it back now for a second time. And this is because Musk was being pestered relentlessly by people who were saying, look, there's no free speech unless you let this guy on. And eventually Musk relented. Musk said, you know, I don't like him. Musk said that he personally thought he was an anti-Semite, that, you know, Fuentes wasn't his cup of tea, and that, you know, Fuentes should be allowed back on Twitter, not so he could spread his message, but according to Musk, so he could be buried under an avalanche of criticism and community correction. So he was like, he can come on, but he's going to come on here and we're going to show him up for being, this anti-Semite whose opinions are essentially baseless and shouldn't be listened to. And that's backfired on Musk immediately, because he had a Twitter space last night that apparently had around 3 million people viewing.
So far and wide, keep Manhattan, just give me that countryside.
New York is where I'd rather stay. I get allergic smelling hay. I just adore a penthouse view. Darling, I love you, but give me Park Avenue.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
This anti-Semite whose opinions are essentially baseless and shouldn't be listened to. And that's backfired on Musk immediately, because he had a Twitter space last night that apparently had around 3 million people viewing.
Are you serious?
Yeah, 3 million.
Whoa.
It's been one of the biggest Twitter spaces ever recorded.
Oh, my
goodness.
He's
pulling in numbers that are sort of bigger than Tucker's, I think. That's the sort of...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I got to say, as a boomer, like, there's this whole section of the internet that I know nothing about. And, you know, like I hear about these people who have giant YouTube accounts or other accounts, huge podcasts, people I've never heard of. You mentioned Destiny, and I know who Destiny is, and he's pretty creepy. He was somebody who was basically, what was he, a gamer or was a game streamer?
Yeah, I debated him and I sort of mauled him, and he got very upset and he made a number of excuses for why he got mauled. But, well, you know, Nick's mauled him as well. Nick Fuentes.
He's very ignorant.
Yeah,
I mean, he's been challenged on asking where, you know, name the states, or there's a map of the states. There's some game that's a map of the states, and he had to name the states, and he couldn't name like a third of the states. And he's an American, which is really pretty bad. And he thought that Egypt and Russia had a border. So he doesn't know geography. He doesn't know history. There's a lot of, I don't think he knew who Bismarck was, you know, all sorts of things. Like maybe I'm.
No, and he had a weird relationship with his wife as well.
I don't even want to get in. We tried.
They had an open relationship, and he said that was cool and normal. And obviously the punchline is, it was open in the way that it wasn't open for him, but she was free to go and have sex with Chad Chadston. And obviously after Chad Chadston had been there a couple of times, she didn't want any lovey time with Destiny. So Destiny ended up getting a divorce. And then all the feminist garbage he'd spent his life campaigning for, sort of like letting the woman take half and equality, bit him in the arse when he found himself having to lose a large portion of what he'd worked for to put a roof over the head of his now ex-wife and her lover, Chad. So it kind of all collapsed in on him. And I've got to say, it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. So I know we're right up at the end of our time, so you've got another minute or so.
Well, I've got Dr. David Duke on my show tomorrow night. So that will be entertaining. And we'll be talking a little bit about these campus protests and free speech. And on top of that, I just want to say, you know, thank you for having me on. I still produce all my videos. There's a little bit of a campaign on Twitter to try and get me reinstated. I'm sure it's not going to be as big as the campaign to get Nick reinstated, but we are fighting on. And I had a very popular Twitter account, you know, 60,000. I had, you know, 60,000 followers, and I got it back. I've never broken the rules, but there does seem to be some kind of selective enforcement there to silence certain people. But I don't think the campaign for free speech on Twitter can be ended until everyone's got their accounts back who have used the platform lawfully. So please do keep campaigning for free speech there, and do support people like Nick who have their accounts.
And you know, I don't know how many people in the RBN audience know more about Twitter than I. There's got to be some. Why don't you, just like Nick got his account back by his fans pestering Elon Musk and others, how about doing that for Mark? Let's get Mark back on Twitter.
That would make my day.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me, Mark.
Thank you for having me on.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Mutual Radio.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.